Welcome to our podcast,
Band BFFs,
the podcast where we make your music selection less complicated.
On today's episode, we are going to be discussing Contempo by Michael Story. Cheers to starting the conversation.
Contempo is an old piece,
published 2004.
Yeah,
everybody.
I mean, it's pretty old.
Older
pretty
than
old.
Your students,
but an oldie but a goodie. We think this piece is in 3-4 in the key of concert E flat throughout, or C minor. Split clarinet parts, split trumpet parts, the trombone and euphonium part are separated. They often play the same thing, but not always. Percussion is important, but not, you don't need a big percussion section. 5 to 6 percussionists will be perfectly fine to cover all of the parts of this. What we like about it, 3-4, it's a great opportunity to teach lots of different style, mm-hmm. and there's accidentals and some tuning considerations and really good educational teaching piece.
Yeah. It's also pretty long.
Yeah. It's about 3.5 minutes.
3.5 minutes and let's see, 154 measures. So think that what you will. And this is a grade 2 on the Texas PML.
Correct.
Yep. Okay, so at the very beginning, it starts out with just the woodwind instruments playing for 4 measures and bells and triangle. The flute and oboe have the main statement first, and it's an accented statement. So you're starting off with like very firm articulation. Everybody that plays has accented fronts to the note. And this is important because throughout the piece, it's either you're playing like an accented fanfare-ish type part,
right,
or a staccato part, or a lyrical slurry type part. So we'll talk more about that as we get into it. But just be aware that, again, as Laura mentioned, there's a ton of style considerations. So flute and oboe start out, and then the clarinet 2 comes in with a chord with tenor sax on measure 2. And this piece is fast. It's 144 and 3, so it's like really quick. It's not in 1 or anything, but it kind of should have that like waltz type feel to it for sure. When the clarinet 2 comes in, it's on an A, and that's always just like the most out of tune note I remember thinking when we've played this or judged it in the past. So just be aware right from the get-go, get that, you know, get those resonance fingers down, make sure you get that A in tune.
It's a throat tone A, and then it's against a G in the first clarinet. So like not, oh, I mean,
like
it's meant to
above
be a
the staff
above
G.
the staff G. Right. So we're throat tone A with an above the staff G. So immediately right out of the gate, you have a color chord tone that's in a horrible tuning range.
Yeah.
So just, you know, be
and
mindful.
And the tenor sax is also on an A, but it's on above the staff A.
Right. So that's a
it's
two,
supposed to sound the same, but it's like, ugh. It's
That's
just remember that being not super fun right at the very beginning. And it's exposed. Okay, after this little opening statement at 5, snare drum comes in on a roll. You have to make sure your snare plays it very quiet.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's...
And I want to discuss this for a second. The snare part throughout this is pretty active in places where the winds are not as active. So the part, like what Katie talking, it's marked forte. This roll, it does not need to be played forte. So this, often they need to concentrate themselves, you know, halfway between the rim and the center of the drum in that area dynamically. And you might even experiment with changing their sticks if it's still, if they're playing with generals and it's still too heavy and too loud, you might try a smaller beaded stick to give them it a softer touch and a little more control. But that's like a little implement trick that you can use that can help control that volume. And it's important on this piece.
Very, because like she mentioned, we'll get to it in a sec, it's very active. Okay, back to 5. So now the trumpets come in along with the woodwinds, the upper people, and we have a little opening statement. 1 and 2, and it's staccato, staccato accent. 1 and 2, 1 and 2, 1 and 2, 3 and 1, 2 and 3 and 1. And the lows come in to like kind of get it more exciting and build it up with these accented notes that start on beat 3 each time. And tie over. So rest, rest. 3, 3, 2, 3. three, one. And so we all land together, but it's all accented.
Now, the other thing here, we're coming in first, trumpets are coming in on an A, second on a G, and horns are coming in cold on a third space C. So again, that's another tuning concern right there that you have to be aware of. We've talked about it before, but remember that your horns, I would go down the row one at a time with your horns and find if they're better, they are more consistent tuning on the F side or B flat side. Mm-hmm. I will often have my horns, if we sit in that range of A, B, B flat, C, in there, I will often have my horns play not on the trigger side of the horn because the tuning is more stable.
Yep.
So know that and experiment with that if you need to.
Yep. So we're all building up to nine. And then at nine, it is just the trumpets playing alone with unison. A little bit of like snare and tom in there. Unison line between first and second trumpet. And if your trumpets crack or miss notes here, it's an issue because it is completely isolated. Mm-hmm. So you will only want to play this piece maybe if you have an extremely solid trumpet section.
Yes.
Or if you have a very large trumpet section where in this exposed moment, you maybe have two or three players on each part play it, four total, five total, whatever you might need to do. But like you cannot let your whole trumpet section play if they don't all kick on D. If they don't
and A.
If they don't all feel comfortable going within an octave range in this part, because it goes from a low C to a high C, and they're jumping around.
It's not all stepwise motion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they have to really be solid here.
And then
it's not easy.
This melody at nine, this is setting the tone for the rest of the piece.
Yeah.
So the style has to be there. And then the style needs to be consistent when other instruments come in the same melodic mm-hmm. idea.
The good news is the trumpets have this for at least half the piece. So if you can get them to be able to play this really well, then they're solid for the rest of the piece. They're going to layer down when other instruments come in and things like that, but they have it over and over and over. But the D kicking is a big deal. And at the end of their opening statement at measure 15, they're holding a D. So they've got a kick. That's where the lows come in, and they have an accented again on one, three, two. It's like a little syncopated, like
Emiola.
Yeah. An accent and have a little space between those chords so you can hear that is a great idea. And then flute, clarinet, one, and oboe have like a little slurry part going into 17 just while the trumpets are holding.
First clarinets are consistently above the break here.
And above the staff a lot.
Yes, and doubling what's happening in flute and oboe. So that's a tuning thing to be mindful of, right? But this opening statement, I think this accented thing needs to be like almost like bell tones.
Yeah.
Right? And that sets the table for everybody else. We get to measure 17, and trumpets repeat. It's the same little thematic thing that we had before, trumpets isolated by themselves. Now what's different is when we get to measure 23, the trombone, euphonium, and low reeds come in to kind of finish this mm-hmm. statement. Instead of that hemiola thing, now they're coming in with their accented quarter notes that have to match exactly with what the trumpets set up before they pass it back off to trumpets again at 25.
Yep. There's like a little flute, oboe, clarinet slurry thing again going into 25. So again, it's kind of a repeat. At 25, the trumpets continue on the same statement. Now the alto saxophones have joined them, and the flutes, oboes, and clarinets have a new part that should be brought out a little bit. It's just a little like counter melody. The lows are all in now, and they need to be soft. I know when low reeds and low brass. When I've played this in the past, it's been difficult because this is where at 25 it gets noisy because everybody's like playing. It doesn't say like you play softer, you play louder. It just is everybody's still playing forte. So you've got to either write that in for your kids or teach them and make sure that they've layered things down.
And the low brass and low reeds are only providing a harmonic foundation
right
here, right? So they're just chords in the background. This is where the snare enters with that really active part. This is the first time that the full ensemble, we're 2D band here at 25, and everybody's playing. Katie's just talked about layering and prioritizing parts. Snare comes in on this really active part, and I think that contributes to the noisy quality right here.
I totally agree.
So the snare needs to be much softer than the dynamic that's written, and we've already talked about, you know, considering changing sticks, but closer to the edge, get out of the way.
And it's fast and it's active. And it's like, it can be overwhelming. Like, I mean,
you need to have a good snare.
Yes. They can either play too loud or they can rush crazily. There's a lot of things that could go wrong. So make sure your best kid is on this part. When we get to the end of this statement, at 32, the trombone, euphonium, low reed part, they have this little, like, they're moving in fifths. They're doing, like, this little chromatic line, 1, 2, 3, 1, and they're kind of building us up. So just make sure that the tuning is really set there. At 33, we continue the same statement, the same prioritization of balance.
Trumpets are doing the same.
Yep.
So here what I would do is I would try to feature something different, right? So that's the same theme again. Katie talked about having
the
upper woodwinds at 25. This would be a great place, right? Like, so instead of just playing the same thing three times in a row,
right,
like direct the listener's ear where you want it to go, and that's your choice.
At 39, the low people have another cool little moment where they go 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, and 1. And it's like a little scale going down, leading us into 41. I always like bringing that part out. Again, the flute, clarinet, one, and oboe are doing a little slurry statement for a measure going into 41-2. But I like this little low brass, low reeds moment. Now, it's the first time we have a new theme from the trumpets. So they have a new articulated melody.
More lyrical.
Yep. Ta, 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 ta. And you have to make sure that they don't cheat and they tongue both of the eighth notes on beat three.
You're going
to
hear ta, ta, ta.
Yes, that one.
That's,
I know.
That's
like,
the one.
That's actually harder. So ta, 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 ta. And you have to make sure that it is exact because it comes back again. And then I think it comes back later in the piece. I can't remember, but it's at least here. And then the lows are kind of just doing like little interjections here and there, still accented, lots of accents all the time. When the trumpets finish their little moment at 47, the mood of the piece kind of changes here. It gets a little bit more like lyrical, mysterious. The toms come in with this little part and they're getting softer and softer, and we lead into 49.
Now, 49, it's a totally new idea here. So first clarinet is on an F sharp top line of the staff. And second clarinet is on a throat tone A. So that's fun. And this is exposed. It's clarinets, and then it has some low reed and some bassoon and euphonium accompaniment with it, right? And that's it. It's really exposed. This needs to be very smooth. It needs to be very in tune. They need to move together, nice balance. And you don't need to have more than one first clarinet play that.
For sure.
It's soft. There's no percussion happening right here. So just pick your best. Make it, treat it like a solo and make it a really special solo here. Now, in this section, we start to see Accidental City. That, you know, there are, we mentioned the F sharp accidentals and clarinets. We also have C sharps and B natural accidentals happening everywhere in here. Once we get to the fifth measure of the phrase, there is a written trumpet solo. So we've already talked about the fact that you need a strong trumpet section, but this solo, like, I would treat it like you do the clarinet, what we're calling a solo. Yeah. What I would do is a solo.
And it's like a little convo back and forth.
Exactly, exactly. Then there's this really cool accompaniment part that happens.
I do too.
It happens in the low brass, horns, alto, tenor, some of the low reeds. That's a dotted quarter eighth pattern, and it's tied. So 1, 1, 2, 3, 1, 1, 2, 3. Yes.
And it changes style.
It does. Yeah. It changes accidentals all over the place. The syncopated pattern is accented, and then everything else is either unaccented or slurred.
B natural and trombone.
Yeah, thank you.
That's fun. Yeah. So, and it's got to be soft because you don't want it to overtake the trumpet solo.
But accurate. Soft, but accurate.
Which is hard. Yeah. Then at 57, we're back to the little clarinet. And this is beautiful writing. And you want to encourage your kids to lead through the phrase, to push through long notes. One, two, and three, and one, three, one, two, and three, and one, three, one. It just makes it sound really musical. I'm sorry if that was off key. I just don't remember off the top of my head. But that's the same thing, right? And the clarinet too is holding notes underneath. They need to do the same thing. They also need to lead through to the moving note. This is a great opportunity to teach some more of that, like, lyrical musical type styles.
So this section, one little rehearsal trick that I utilize, I feel like the key center here and the tonality shifts, and it's different, and sometimes kids have a hard time like hearing it and getting the tuning accurate. So a rehearsal tip that you can use with that, this whole section from I would say maybe 49 up to at least 65, if you have the students play the first note of the measure and hold it and play it like a chorale. You're going to play a dotted half note, the first note of every measure, and that will get eventually, if, and I've done this where we do it, we treat it exactly like a chorale. This is going to be our contempo chorale. And we play this section and they get the harmonic foundation in their ear. When you do it repeatedly, like anything, it settles so much easier. And then when you go back and put the moving notes on it, they have that harmonic foundation in their ear. So in a section like this where it shifts and it's way different, that's a trick that can help, you know, build your kids' confidence and make them more pitch stable and tuning stable.
Yep, that's awesome. Then it ends, like Laura said, at 65, and then we have another new statement. This is still again from first clarinet, but now the oboe has joined in, so this is going to be kind of like a primary voice that you want to bring out. So they have a new thought, three, one, and three, and one, and, or sorry, one, and two, and one, and two, and one, and three, and one, two, and that's in the trumpet part, and then it goes to add in the flute. So this is very lyrical-y, you'll notice in the parts, there's way less accents other than the hemiola, one, and one, two, three, one. Those are the only accented notes. Everything else is connected or slurred, or has tenutos in the melody. So making this sound very seamless, making sure kids aren't breathing in the same spots, that will be very helpful. The trumpets kind of have a little bit of an interaction with the upper woodwinds, but they for sure are the stars here. The tuba part at 68 goes down to an E natural. They have a lot of E's and A's and B's, just like the euphonium and trombone did before at 65, but it's new because they play alone this like bass part.
They're doing that
like the harmonic foundation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then the trombones and euphoniums add back in at 71, but there's a big moment where it's just bass clarinet, tuba, Barry sax alone with that bass line.
Now at this section, before we get to the new idea, at 74, the trumpets and saxophones and horns come in on beat two, echoing the upper woodwind melody, one and two, two, one and two, but it is not accented. And I think that's really important because the melodic statement is slurred, ta, ta, right? So you want to make sure that they're not stinging the front of the notes. Otherwise, it makes the upper woodwind sound bumpy, ta, ta,
yep.
Right? So just make sure that you're very careful of the fact that these are not accented.
Yep. The trumpets then have this little interlude in response to the upper woodwinds at 72 leading into 74. And it's a little bit high up for the first trumpet, starting on a C sharp third space and leading up to a D. And I just know every time I've played this piece, the second trumpet starts on a B flat and it's A sharp, G sharp, F sharp, G sharp, A sharp, B. So it's just like, it's a lot, you know, and kids are like, burp, 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 burp. So the tuning, I remember, was pretty crazy here. And just like kids' brains not understanding what all the sharp notes mean and everything. So just take some time. It's the only thing occurring there. Everybody else is just crescendoing going into 74.
Holding long notes, right.
Yep. At 74, we continue this same lyrical type thought in the flute, oboe, clarinet one again. We still have chords happening in everybody else's part. We get that trumpet solo again at 78. Everybody else on the accompaniment needs to stay softer underneath that trumpet solo, and it's harder because now there's more
people
voices.
Are doing it. That's right.
Yep. So everybody's got to be real, real quiet here. 82, same exact thing, same exact trumpet part, same considerations with staying soft, leading into 90.
And snare through all of this, there is this action happening over here. It's not a terribly easy snare part. Rest and two, three, and two, three, and one. And that's opposite of what's happening in the bass drum. So, I mean, like, you need to, I know we've touched on it, but make sure that your percussion are solid. And the snare drummer is most important, but that's not the only one.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, at 90, the trumpets have their famous statement from the beginning, but now the first trumpet is up an octave on the Ds. So that's fun because it's a high D in first trumpet and a low D in second trumpet.
Gotta love
so
concert
C's.
So
it's an octave. Bum, mm-hmm. bum, bum, bum. And then another octave. Bum, bum. And so it's octave C's, octave high F's, octave E naturals. And we're 90 measures into the piece. So like your trumpet ones are going to be tired because they don't rest a lot.
Yeah.
They're playing. And so this, I know, can be kind of a little bit of a tuning nightmare. And we still got 50 measures left.
Yeah.
So just keep that in mind. Your trumpets have got to be like physically able
the
to
endurance.
Play the entire piece.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
Okay. So they have the statements. We've already talked ad nauseum about how to play this. But the whole band has accents again here. We're done with the lyrical section. At 96, the full band has a 5-count. Held note. Snare's finishing out his little thought her little thought.
Thank you.
I just always think of, yeah. I'd like the drum, not like the drummer.
Oh, okay.
I don't
okay,
know okay. why, but I think okay. the snare drum, yeah. Okay, but they don't, yeah. Okay, so they're holding the note out. 1, 2, 3, 1. And I've always taught everybody's off on 2. So that there's a hard lift.
I agree
and
completely.
Then, okay. And then mm-hmm. everybody comes back in, or almost everybody, on 3. So 1, 2, 3, 1, lift. Three, one, three, one, three. Now it's different. And now at 101, it's sneaky. It's mysterious again. It's quiet. This is where the snare drummer has got to be solid.
They have to have a lot of control. It's written piano, so they're going to be closer to the edge.
It's that
way
same
lower
part
stick
from before.
Height. Right, absolutely. So,
but there's like nobody playing on top of them.
Nothing.
And yeah,
they
it's
are
little tiptoes.
That's exactly right. They are providing, you know, all of the
pulse.
Forward momentum
yep.
here. So they have to have lots of control. I love this. I really
do too.
Love this section.
I think it's cute.
There are all these little staccato note interjections
yeah.
that you have to make sure your
Everybody's
students start
together.
With their tongue.
And that it's all exactly lined up, like a pizzicato on a
exactly.
bass. Exactly. Tall, tall, tall. Da, 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 da. The style here is so fun. And
mm-hmm.
I love this part too, like you just said.
Yeah.
Then the clarinets come in with another little like lyrical, pretty little moment. It's this time though, we're all written low, which is nice.
Yes.
It's just a little quieter here.
And don't be afraid to add some shaping.
Oh, you
like,
have to.
Yeah, decide
it'll sound so much better.
How you want that phrasing to
yep.
sound.
At 113, they continue going on, but now the trumpets come in with that short kind of pizzicato type moment, but they need to also be very quiet. They're not the melody. It's just like, it's real cutesy here. And then all of a sudden at 119, it's like, surprise.
Big
now
moment.
We're excited.
Yep.
And it's forte and it's just trumpet horn with alto sax coloring the horn. It's like a fanfare. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1.
Low,
bum,
brass,
bum, 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 bum. And then at 123, we get back into, or we haven't had this before. Yeah, this is another new thought. This is now upper woodwind and trumpet together and horn. 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 2, 3, and then it's slurry and this part. That long part right there.
Long accompaniment notes and everybody else.
It's this upper part in the trumpet with the flute because they're in the same range. And the clarinet one part is just kind of like...
It can be shrill.
Ooh, yes. And it's hard because we're almost at the end of the piece. Your first trumpets are tired by this time.
And
so,
and this phrase is written to end on a staccato note. 2, 3, 1, and it just needs to be lift. Yes. Like so float. Do not let them smack the note. We talk about the visual of letting a helium balloon go versus a rocket ship shooting off, right? Those are two totally different things. And this is a let the helium balloon go. Just let it float.
Yep. It continues on. The lows are just playing chords here. It's easy peasy on normal notes. And then we're crescendoing up to 141. This is the last moment of the piece. Now we're back to the octave. Nope, not octaves. Different harmonic structure, but the first trumpet is playing the main melody up high with clarinet one up there. The second trumpet and second clarinet part's just a little bit different now. But we're back to the accented moment. The snare drum's still going. Then we're leading to the end at 147. We have these little half notes from brass and low reeds that need to be soft and grow as you're leading to the final moment at 151. The clarinet part here is pretty interesting because it's like, it's very doodly is what I call it. So it's 1, 2, and 3, and 1, 2, and 3, and 1, 2, and 3, and 1. So it's moving around a lot, and it's probably like one of the only times in the piece where there's like kind of constant stuff happening in the upper woodwinds.
And it is not marked for the top of the slur to be staccato.
So
and
it should lead into
it should.
The
ta,
next.
Ta, 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 ta.
Yeah.
Don't let them clip that short.
And so each time the half notes are getting a little bit louder, they are doing the same thing. They should be getting louder and louder. 151, the full band plays together. There's a big timpani moment.
This is the only big timpani moment.
Yep. Oh my gosh, I totally forgot. One time when I played this, I didn't have enough players for the piece, and I just thought of it because you said that. We had a kid run over and play
the timpani part
only here, and that's it. We didn't have
it
the rest of
it's the only moment it matters.
But it took you saying that to jog my memory. Timpani, while everybody's holding this chord, and it's a Picardy third.
Yes, it is.
You only get that if you've listened to any of our other episodes, everybody. Okay. So we're holding it, and it's got to be really in tune.
And it's a C major chord. And this piece is in C minor. It's a C major chord. And first trumpets are on fourth line D. Flutes are above the staff on C. The first clarinets are on fourth line D. Trombones are a C above the staff. Yeah. I mean, y'all, do not be afraid to rewrite this.
Yeah.
Rewrite this chord to make it sound good. It's at the end of the piece. This is not an
easy piece.
Take
it down an
octave.
Yes. Yeah.
Make
and
it
then
sound
it's
good.
Gonna lead into the ending, which is just 1, 2, 3, and 1. Okay.
And down.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's a really, really fun piece, but it is not for the faint of heart
because of the length.
Exactly
right.
And some of the tuning challenges that exist due to the writing, but it's a wonderful piece, an oldie but a goodie, as Laura said.
If you have the ensemble to play it, like make sure that the juice really is worth the squeeze with this one, right? But it is if your ensemble is able to handle it, I think it's a great piece.
Yes. Well, we hope you will consider programming contempo in the future, and thank you for joining us on this episode of
Band BFFs.